brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the sunny, lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, and I greet you in all that goes on in life and your journey and my journey in our time here in this short, brief, momentary existence in this life before we transition from this experience into the next, from this life into the next, from this world and all that it is into what it is that will come after this. Now, that being said, part of being in Christ Jesus is being an eternal being. And part of being an eternal being is shifting out of conscious time and being here now, as my dad used to say. As my dad still says, he says, be here now. God is I am. You know, Jesus Christ even said, you know, before Abraham was, I am. God is ever present and in this moment right now. And you need to not be caught up with something that is going to happen in the future, but rather be looking to right now in this place, walking with God and being content in your spirit, being satisfied, knowing that you have everything that you need right now. You know, all has been done by God so that you could walk with Him in a true, real relationship and have purpose in your time, in your existence here. And when does purpose begin? It begins right now. When does passion begin? Passion begins right now. When does the right direction, the right choice, the things that you can do, the place and the way that you can make an impact, when does that begin? It begins right now. It's right now in this moment, not something waiting to happen. When can you be free from your addiction? Right now. It doesn't have to be something for the future. You can be set free now. When do you make a decision and a choice to abstain from lust, to abstain from that which would destroy you? Well, right now. You make a decision and a choice at any moment in time of who you're going to be and what you're going to be about and what you're going to become ultimately. Because when you see people, people are, in a lot of ways, a product of their choices. People choose. That's why God has also put in His Word. And we have it right on our homepage. We've had it there for a long time. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. You know, why do we do that? Well, we do that because you've got to realize that it's you make a decision in this. You're not a passive robot. You are actually making the decision and making choice. And the follower of Christ has made a choice to put their face in direction of their Creator, not towards the world, and not to face the world and the world system, but to turn their back on the world and all that it is in order to face the living and real and true God, our Creator, the lover of our soul. You know, God has put that in our hearts, and we have responded and chose to face Him. You know, I like the analogy of a sunflower. You know, one time I was driving by, traveling, and I saw this field of sunflowers. And I think until you actually see a field of sunflowers, it doesn't really hit home. And like, you can see pictures, but when you see a field and you see how, I mean, the reason they're called sunflowers is because the flower faces the sun. And wherever the sun will go in the sky, the flower will turn to face the sun. It always has a face that is looking to be directly lined up with the sun. And you see it in a field because when you drive by, all of the sunflowers in that field are facing that direction of the sun. Particularly with like commercial agriculture where they grow it, you know, and you see them all planted together, and all of those sunflowers are facing in that one direction. And it's incredible. But, you know, there's a spiritual lesson in that too. In that, you know, for us, you know, we make a decision, we make a choice. If we want to choose to face the source of our life, the source of the flow of life into us, if we want to choose to face Him, or if we want to choose to direct ourselves away from Him. And just even as, and there's so many amazing lessons and parallels in Scripture that relate to also the real life situation that we live with. If you face away from the Son, or also, you know, like Jesus said in John 15, abide in me, let my words abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, if you will break yourself off from Him, if you will walk away from Him, if you will turn your face away from Him, and thereby not receive the life-giving power and inflow of the Son into your life, which gives you the strength, gives you the power, gives you the ability to overcome the world, all of that gives you the ability and the charge necessary to do the works of God and to do that which God asked for you to do. If you face Him, you receive. If you turn away from Him, you reject. It's just that simple. I think a lot of people, they want to try to go away from Him, and yet they still want to claim Him, which is a paradox, which is being split inside. Because when people choose and want to go away from Him, and yet want to still try to claim Him, they're in a really dangerous place, because there's no life in them, and yet they're trying to claim the author of life as their source, but it's not. See, if you're facing Him, you're being led by Him. If you're being led by Him, those are the true sons and daughters of God, those that are led by His Spirit. So, but if you're going away from Him, then what are you pointing towards? See, the human being was made in the image and likeness of God. Yes? Yes. We all know that from Scriptures that we were created in God's image and God's likeness. Also, the very fact that we are created in His image and His likeness, God is love. So, every human being on the face of the earth, without exception, was created to love. Now, what we love is a question. You know, do people love themselves? Do they love the world and the world system? Do they love their flesh? Do they love, what do they love? Where's their love? Where's their heart desire? Because the fact that everybody loves, that's a given. Because you are created in God's image and likeness. So you've been created with the inbuilt into your human nature is the nature to love. Now, what you love is that's the thing that's been brought into question. Because when people love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in them. When people love sin, the wages of sin is death, so they die. And a lot of other things die as a result of their actions and their choices and their decisions. So, you know, it's something that, you know, when you make a decision and you make a choice, you're using the free will that God has given you. When you make a decision, when you make a choice, you are exercising that which God has put in you. And you can choose life, or you can choose death. You can choose to serve or to be served. You know, Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. You know, Jesus came and put Himself out there. And, you know, likewise, we too, we put ourselves out there. You know, we serve. And we serve according to God's direction, God's leading, and God's guiding. Now, here's the thing. You live in a world that's very keen to be served. You live in a world that's very keen to take advantage of your gifts, your talents, abilities, and to use you up. So, that being the case, you need to have wisdom in how you serve, in what you do, and how you do it. You can't just, put yourself out there to be used and abused. You need to allow God to direct the places where you will put your time, your energy, your resources, and you need to serve according to His direction. Because that's where your effectiveness will be. That's where your peace will be. That's where you will see your gifts being used. You want the gifts that God has put in you to be used. You want them to result in something incredible. And they will. They will when they're empowered by Spirit. But they're empowered by Spirit when you're aligned with Him. So, life tips too along the way. There's some things that are, good things to keep in mind as you go forward in this thing. Practical things. Keep your life simple. Simplicity is a beautiful thing. Learning to be content is a beautiful thing. There's a secret of contentment. And with that which you have in life, look, if you just go for quality and go for simplicity, this is kind of the way I've done it. Seems to gear in towards that, and I see, definitely some wisdom in this. Is just God's been leading me for myself. Is quality and simplicity. Keep things simple. Keep your life simple. Unclutter your life. Get rid of the things that don't really need to be there, and make space for that which God wants to do. And focus on quality. Quality relationships, quality time, quality in when you do something, do it with quality. Scriptures would say, to do all things as unto the Lord. If you are going to do something for the King of Kings, imagine, on an earthly level, imagine if you're going to do something just for a king or a president. If you're going to meet them one day, or you're going to go, even if you don't like them, you would still be mindful of, whatever that next day was, how you would dress to go meet them. You would probably put on something nice. You would probably, if you're working on a project or you're going to show something, you'd probably try to make it as nice as you possibly could. Why? Because, even if you maybe even don't like them, you still respect the office. You still respect the person that holds that. Even if they themselves as a person may not be up to scratch, but because they hold a position, you still give them certain respect, right? Right. And you still would try to put forward your best that you could as you have the opportunity, right? Right. So, scriptures tell us that we're to do all things as unto the Lord. So, and He is the King of Kings. So, He is the King above all the kings that are out there. He is the Lord above all the lords that are out there. And we are to do all things as unto Him. So, when you do all things as unto Him, you put forward your best. You're working not for man, you're working for the King of Kings. And so, that means that when you do something, you strive for quality. You strive to do things well and to do them right. You don't give God your leftovers. No. You give God your best. That, my friends, is the story of Abel and Cain. Abel came to God with the best that he had. And God God respected his sacrifice, his offering that he would make to him. Because he also saw the heart that came behind it. Cain just came with whatever. Cain just said, okay, this is fine. He just sort of just put some stuff together. And God saw that. And God saw the heart that was behind that. And the heart that's behind that, it doesn't please God. It doesn't please God. When you just sort of put whatever out there. He wants you, of your own heart, of your own free will, to put forward your best, to put forward the best that you have, And then he takes that and he empowers it by his spirit and does something amazing with it. But rather than trying to just sort of scrape by, you've got to understand that God has put something in you that it needs to be brought forth. And the way that it'll be brought forth is by you and your heart wanting that, putting forward your best. You know, if you say within yourself, all right, I'm going to put forward the best that I have, Lord God, whatever that may be, whether it's my life and my time here, my time in the earth, you know, whether it's my energies, whether it's my resources, the best that I've got, Lord God, I'm going to put it forward. I'm going to put it before you. You do with it as you wish. You know, rather than people, I remember, you know, one time I was in college and I was talking to, you know, a guy that I knew back then. And, you know, we were talking about faith and we were talking about life and decisions and choices. And he was saying to me, he said to me, he said, okay, he said, well, he said, you know what, I know I need to probably, you know, think about this at some point. I know I need to probably think about life and God and all of that. But he said, you know, he said, here's what my plan is. He said, I'm going to do what I'm doing right now. And then I'm going to probably get married and have a couple kids and get my career going, have a family. And he says, probably when I'm, you know, in my 40s, that's when I'm going to get God, was his word. I'm going to get God. And essentially what he was saying is, all right, you know, I know this is true. I know this is right. I know that, you know, this is, should be a priority and important. But, you know, I've got these other things that are important to me right now that are more important. So basically, I'm going to consume my life with this other stuff. Even though I know this is true, I'm going to consume my life with these other things. And I am going to give God the leftovers of my life at a predetermined point in time. Now, do you think that God wants your leftovers? You know, scripturally, when you look through, he didn't. You know, when one guy said, hey, let me go bury my father, or otherwise basically saying, look, I got a priority that's stronger than to walk with you. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You know, when one man said, when Jesus told a man to sell all that he had and then give to the poor and then come follow him, testing his heart and his loyalties, he went away sad because he had a lot of money and he didn't want to give it up. And God is not going to be second place. He's not going to be second place to the decisions and the choices that you make. What's the first commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Which, incidentally, is an overflow. If you get the first one, it'll overflow you. Like Jesus said, if you come unto me and drink, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So the overflow of that is, it'll flow from him into the lives of those around you. And you will have, because you walk with him, you will have the power to love your neighbor as yourself. Because that flows out of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There is a reason that there's that order. There's a reason that they're not on the same level. You know, the first commandment is, and this is the one you got to get. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You love him with everything. And you love him with the very best that you have. If you love Him with the very best that you have, God will multiply everything else. God will give you rest. God will take what would be the leftovers of your life, and He'll take those other ones, and He'll make those something incredible. You know, it was really cool. When I was in college, since reminiscing a little bit, I remember I learned a principle. You know, sometimes people would get busy with schoolwork and all these other things, and you know, I was also an athlete when I was in school, but I learned a principle, which was really important, which was, you know, because just getting disciplined with praying, just getting disciplined with spending some time in the Word, just reading the Bible in prayer, just getting disciplined with those made a huge difference in just my own walk. And one thing too that I saw was like, was the principle was when I gave God, you know, when I gave God His time, at the time I called it His time, but all time is His. But at the time, that's where I was at. And I just said, when I gave God His time, He always gave it back to me. In the sense that any time that I would make seeking the kingdom of God my first priority, I found that everything else in my life lined up. When it came to studies, I studied just so much better. When it came to trying to get things done, when it came to work, work just flowed so much better. When I put the right things first, when I kept the right priorities, and when I sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that everything else flowed out of that. And when I didn't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, when I didn't make that the priority, I noticed that everything else got just laborious and difficult and stuck, and all kinds of things would just not be what they were supposed to be. So, you know, the challenge, and the world will always try to take you off of that. The world will always try to get you to save your life in the world, to be part of the system, to look to the world, and to get your eyes off of Jesus. But if you go that way, you miss it. If you go the way of the world, you get stuck. If you go that path, then you end up going down a direction that, for the way that you have been wired within as a follower of Christ, as a spiritual seeker, as somebody that knows Him, you know, it's not, you're always going to know that something's not right inside of you. You see, you may have everything the world says you should have, but inside, you know that things aren't right. And that, for a follower of Christ, that for one called by God, that will drive you nuts. Because it'll just chew away at you inside. Versus, if inside that's solved, if inside you know that you're walking with Him, you're in step with Him, you're in relationship with Him, you hear His voice, you won't follow another. If you have that, doesn't matter what's going on outside, doesn't matter what's going on around you. If you have that, there's peace and life and hope and joy. And even if outside you're in a tumult situation, tumultuous situation, doesn't matter. You're going to love Him. You're going to walk with Him. You're going to be at peace inside. Even if outside things are all chewed up, even if you suffer loss at an external level, you'll still be at peace. You know, I was reading a book recently that was given to me by somebody very special, and it said, happiness is not having what you want, but wanting what you have. And secret to happiness. I was thinking about that, you know, as a statement. It's true. It's finding contentment, ultimately. You know, I mean, a lot of people, they think, okay, here's all these things that they just want. And if they could just have them, they'll be content. But the truth is that there's people that are out there that are content with much less than you have. They're at peace with much less than you have. Look, just the very fact that you can listen to this message, you have equipment that, you know, for all intents and purposes, is not affordable to most people in this world. Whether it's a mobile phone or whether it's the computer that you're listening to this on, whether it's your iPod or, you know, if you've subscribed to the RSS feed, however it is that you get these messages, you know, you are already among a set of people that have incredible access. Whereas you have access to electricity. There's a lot of people in this world that don't have access to that. And yet, there's a lot of people in this world that maybe don't have access to even what you have right now, but they have peace, they have joy, they walk with the Spirit of God, they know His voice, they won't follow another, and they're blessed. So what is the secret that they found? What is the things that they have discovered that they walk in? You know, asking that question. You know, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. You know, but simplify your life. Yeah. You know, that's and just make the right things the right priorities. You know, don't carry stuff in your head, because, you know, a lot of things too that people worry and stress about, they're not that big of a deal, seriously. Just leave certain things and let God sort them out. He's in control. He knows the number of hairs on your head. So whatever it is that you think is such a big deal, look, He already knows more about it than you ever will. And He's already in control more than you can ever be. So rather put your trust in Him. Rather, with whatever it is that you struggle with, just bring it before Him, bow it before Him, and trust Him. You know, when you trust Him, He takes that trust, takes that faith, and comes through for you. When you don't trust Him, you keep yourself in a place and in a position of you having to do it. And, you know, you can't even, without God's help, take your next breath. If He was to withdraw His breath from you, which is on loan from Him, you would be out of here. So even your very breath in your body is something that you depend on the living God for Him to leave it there with you and for Him to not draw it out of your system. So that being the case, you know, why don't you trust Him in all things? Why don't you trust Him in all things, knowing that He's in control? And knowing that He that began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. Trust Him. And don't worry. You know, people worry so often about so many different things. And it's not necessary. The things that people worry about, they're not necessary. You know, rather, look to Him. God will always carry you through. So, hey, with that, God bless you guys. We love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Just search for Faithmix. One word, you will find us there. Keep on keeping on. And do write us. We always appreciate hearing from you guys. So, yeah, keep in touch. And be encouraged. All right, hey, God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.